We're breaking from our weekly podcast to bring you highlights from WSJ Tech's DLive conference in Laguna Beach, California.
The future of everything. A look ahead from the Wall Street Journal with Jennifer Strong.
The white-hot popularity of social media platforms comes with its own set of challenges. The control of misinformation being just one. This episode, Instagram co-founder Kevin Systrom discusses how the social media industry can do some growing up. He's joined on stage by Wall Street Journal editor-in-chief Matt Murray.
So you flew down just this afternoon, right?
Uh-huh.
And you flew?
I did.
How'd you fly down here?
In a plane.
A commercial airliner?
No. So here's the thing. He's like, we're going to talk
magazine,
about...
So they
no, no, this is going a different direction than you think. I started learning to fly maybe like 3 months ago or so. And you guys were like, hey, do you want to come down? And as if Laguna Beach and this amazing conference weren't enough, I was like, I'm going to turn this into a lesson. So my instructor and I came on down. It took a few hours.
But how long did it take?
So a few hours. It was the longest flight of my life, yeah. And there's no bathroom. There's no Wi-Fi, no Instagramming. Not that I've been Instagramming a lot lately.
Any problems? Did it go okay? Any turbulence or anything like that?
Actually, it was pretty nice. So it was pretty nice.
I took United, and then I took a car service. Yeah. But anyway,
you can come. You can come with me back. It'll take a while. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay. It's great to have you here. Seriously, you're 5 weeks out of Facebook. We're going to talk a little bit about what you've been up to since. But I looked it up, and the statute of limitations on talking about Facebook after you've left, especially if you're a founder, is like 3 months, so we're still within that time.
Okay.
So I do want to ask a little bit about your departure. So when you left, you and Mike, you put a blog post that said you were, quote, planning on leaving Instagram to explore our curiosity and creativity again, which suggests you have at least a future in PR, if you want that.
That sounds like something I would write. Go on.
Then more recently, you said at a conference, you said, no one ever leaves a job because everything's awesome. So can you tell us a little more about what wasn't awesome?
I wasn't expecting this question.
We're full of surprises.
Okay, so...
By the way, you really do have to tell us more, especially because, as Christina said, the article about you being there posted just as news of your departure came out.
Yeah. One way not to get on the good side of a magazine is to not tell them you're leaving. So, a couple of things. One is, most everyone here has jobs and has had jobs, and we had been doing what we were doing for 8 years, six of which was at Facebook. Mm-hmm. And a good friend of mine likes to say, you have to like look at the patterns in the world and expect that they're going to happen over and over and over again. And if you look at companies that have been acquired by bigger companies, the question is, what is the pattern for founders at those places? If you look at PayPal, some of the people left literally the day of the transaction.
Right.
If you look at other companies, you know, some people last like a year or two. We lasted 6 years. And I wouldn't even say lasted because I had a ton of fun those 6 years. I mean, we built an enormous business.
We crossed a billion users this year.
We built an enormous community of a billion people. So like, there are no regrets to those 6 years. It was fantastic. But also there comes a time where you're like, okay, on balance, what do I want to be doing? And at heart, I want to be building new things. And 6 years is just a really long time. So I think if anything, it was like, long beyond what anyone would have expected.
But did it change? Did tensions or other issues come up that in the balance of things over time toward the end made it less rewarding than it was early on?
I don't really like want to get into specifics because I don't know. I'm like focused on the future. Okay. But what I will say is every job has trade-offs. No matter who you are, if you're sitting in the audience or listening online right now, you have trade-offs in your job and not everything's always perfect. But at the same time, you make the most of it. I think we made the most of the 6 years that we were there. But now we have the opportunity, and I'm super grateful to have the opportunity to go do literally anything that I want, including flying 3 hours to a conference.
And so and I want to get to that, but there's a couple things we'll talk about. Just one other thing on that specific thing. So I'm not going to ask about your specific circumstance, but you know, as you know, a number of founders have left, and Facebook just this year. Facebook has had a tremendous record of buying companies such as yours and helping them grow, but they haven't kept too many founders, and they've had an issue this year. Is there something about Facebook or about is it just a tough place to stick around, do you think, for founders? Is there anything broader going on at the company?
I think I'll come back to my statement that, again, to have founders stay for 6 years, if anything, if you're going to grade companies on how long they keep founders, I don't know, Facebook's done a pretty good job at that. So again, Instagram being inside of Facebook has allowed it to be an amazing thing attached to another amazing thing and grown really quickly. And I have nothing but fond memories of those 6 years. Yeah, there were a lot of ups and downs, most of which, you know, were our own doing. But I can't look back on those 6 years with any amount of regret, given how amazing that company has done. And the community is fantastic. I mean, I go out in the world now and I talk to people about how it's changed their lives, how it's helped them keep in touch with their families. And to me, again, like, let's zoom back 8 years. In fact, there's a guy here and he came up and he was like, hey, do you remember me? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he was like, oh, you said you learned iOS from me. Like 8 years ago, I was sitting in front of an iPad, or not an iPad because the iPads weren't out then, but like a laptop learning iOS. And zoom forward 8 years. Now we're, you know, it's like a beautiful coastal setting. We're talking about how amazing Instagram is. The 8 years between those two moments of literally learning iOS and having this moment, like, how incredible is that to have as a life experience? So zero, you know.
He said that guy said the same thing to me. I think he's been saying that to everybody here. But you just got here. But
well, he walked up to Gwyneth Paltrow. He was like, "Hey," and she was like, "Hey," and I was like, "Wait, how did?" That was everyone.
This is not about your specific experience there, but you were just alluding, because I want to talk more broadly about tech, but some of the issues around tech, Facebook is obviously in. So I'm not looking for specifics on your circumstances there, but. You know, Instagram has grown enormously. It's you passed a billion. I think within the world of Facebook, it's a bigger and bigger contributor to the overall picture there. Is there something you think, as the environment around social media changes and as concerns change, is there something that Instagram has or figured out or stumbled into that others like Facebook or Twitter or other platforms could learn from or should learn from?
I don't want to go so far as to say like they should learn from us, but I'll tell you what I think. Like, we focused on. And if I were running any other company or investing in another company, what I would tell them, we took solving problems, like real human problems, very seriously. Like, every product, every feature we built, everything we did, it was required. You would come in, if you were building something and you're a product manager, you would come in with a product brief saying, this is the human problem we're solving. Mm. And I think when you root your product plans or your business plans, anyone in the audience or anyone listening, if you root what you work on in the needs of real people and you can identify exactly that need and then build products to service it, then you'll generally have more successful products. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of tech companies just root around in trends. They're like, oh, you know, this technology is super cool. Blockchain, we'll just, you know, we'll do stuff around that. And now everyone's doing things with blockchain, but it's like, okay, what real problem are you solving for humans that makes their life better? It turns out Bitcoin has a bunch of different applications, some good, some not so good, that actually solve human problems in the world. And it's when you hone in on the problem that it solves for someone, you get out of that a tremendous product. And that's something I think we focused on incessantly at Instagram.
You mean like when people fall for, let's say, the faith of the algorithm or the power of this or that particular thing, or we figured out this one computational input or this one technology, we'll find something that needs it, but it's the technology they fall for rather than the job to be done.
Well, often people come at it backwards. So they say, hey, this is a cool idea. Like, we have this awesome idea. You know, we're going to put this thing together with this thing. And they're all, you know, buzzwords you'll read in a magazine or in a newspaper. And you're like, cool. But like, okay, have you actually identified what problem it solves for someone in their lives? So if you flip that around, I think as a product manager or as a leader, any leader can apply this to their companies. By focusing on that need, you end up building products that people really care about.
So when you founded Instagram, and even when you, at the time that you sold to the company, it was a different moment in tech, wasn't it? It was a little bit more utopian. It was a little bit more of an excited moment. People were feeling the energy.
Yeah.
It's a much different time. Why has it changed so much? What's happened?
The total addressable market for social media hasn't really changed all that much in the last, let's call it 8 years, just the life of Instagram. What has changed is the penetration of that market. How many people are on these services, how widespread they are. And it turns out you get to this critical mass where all of a sudden, you know, like, Instagram doesn't have 10 million users, it has a billion. And then other social media companies have grown up too, and they've gotten to maybe a couple billion or more. And all of a sudden your reach is so tremendous that like it's almost like the laws of physics no longer apply. And you have to start thinking about, okay, now that we're at this scale, what are the implications? And you start seeing things like Cambridge Analytica or Russian meddling in the elections across all platforms, not just Facebook, across all platforms. And you start to realize, everyone of us, whether you're in media or running a company, how important it's going to be for the future of the world that we police these things well, that we take it very seriously, and put real resources against solving the problems now that you're at the scale.
So what do you mean by police? I mean, when you talk about policing them, and we should say you're a relatively new father. So when you think about the world your daughter is going to be growing up in, how do you think about what she needs and what that world will look like for her or should look like for her? How do you shape that world?
When Nicole and I were thinking of starting a family, I had to come back from a conference where a bunch of product leaders were talking about all the big things they were doing in the world. And Instagram was growing like crazy. And I sat down with my co-founder. And I was like, listen, I think this is great that we're growing and we're going to make a bunch of revenue and everything's good. Like, we're checking all the boxes, but can we talk about like the lasting value we're leaving in the world? Is there something we're going to build that's bigger than Instagram that we could give to the world? And that sounds, you know, high and mighty, but it's a cool place to be to think about, like, if you could work on something, what would it be? And as we were starting a family, I was like, okay, what world do I want my daughter or son, because I didn't know at the time, to grow up in? And I know that they're going to use social media, and I know it's going to be a big part of their lives. And we went through all the problems, again, getting back to that problem-solving stuff. What are the problems that kids deal with online these days? And bullying was way up there, and I heard anecdotes. I would talk with parents about it. It was way up there. And I said, okay, what are like the five things we can do as a company to go and attack that problem? Everything as simple as like actually letting you turn your comments off. Like, it turns out that's a non-trivial thing because most, you know, social media companies don't want to do that because that's great for engagement and keeps you coming back. But having that control means parents and kids can actually decide to turn it off and not have those things. There's one more part, which is applying machine learning to stop being bullying. So I think Instagram was basically the first company to create a machine learning-based filter that identified bullying and stopped it before it would happen. And those are the types of things that I got really excited about at Instagram, not what face filters were we making. It was what lasting technologies can we build that are actually going to solve the problems for the next generation.
Is that resonating in the Valley? Are we going to see other companies take that up? Because it feels like... frankly, it feels like many of the solutions that have come forth today, whether it's hiring people to censor content or reporting bad people on Twitter and waiting for them to do something, are frankly not very useful or successful at this point. So it feels like, again, it feels like there's a long way to go if companies are going to be adapting the kinds of techniques you're talking about on an ongoing basis. I'm not sure that resonates for them.
So as an industry, we have to remember that at least social media has not really been around a long time. Mm. You look at the automotive industry, you look at any industry, and it's been around generally like hundreds, maybe 50 years, whatever. Technology industry, at least when it comes to social media, it's a blip in time. So the question is, how quickly can we develop technologies to fight the stuff that you're talking about that matters to the world? And I think we're on a steep curve here where we're actually building things fairly quickly. I shouldn't say we because I'm not in it anymore, but you see a lot of that happening fairly quickly. So I'm bullish, but it's not to say it won't be without its challenges.
Yeah, journalism has solved all its problems, so I know what it's like. So tough question. The shooter in Thousand Oaks last week was Instagramming as he was shooting people. He would shoot and post. The story's been out. I'm sure you've seen them. What do you think when you read a story like that?
Well, it's heartbreaking to think anyone would do what he did, regardless of the social media aspect. We have a problem in the United States and in the world that we have not addressed with guns, and we're not solving it actively. And that's what I think about. The social media aspect, you know, it bothers me to no end to think that any of these companies were involved. Mm-hmm. But I think it just underscores what a problem we have and how we have to go fix it with the utmost urgency, not on social media. Of course, we have to work on that. But in the world and in the U.S. specifically, because we have this we have this amazing country with amazing people, an amazing educational system, an amazing political system, even though a lot of people here might disagree with that. We can fix this, but it needs action. That's what I think about.
Mm. One more question on technology, and then I want to talk about you a little bit, which is there's another kind of technology coming our way that's really going to change our experience of social media and the internet, and could really affect Instagram. And that specifically is the technology to doctor photos, to doctor videos, we're talking thousands of degrees beyond filtering, the challenge we're going to face with authenticating images, the challenge we may even have as individuals of the temptation to change things, to our own benefit or for our own vanity. How big a challenge does that kind of technology represent to Instagram and social media and our discourse in general, do you think?
To my knowledge, we haven't seen, maybe we have, I should take that back. I think we have yet to see deep fakes, or basically what you're talking about, where you can doctor a photo to look like it was the real thing, or doctor a video. There are examples actually of taking celebrities and they've literally doctored their voice and doctored the face and the figure to look like that person's saying something. And it's getting on the margin of real. And the question is, in an era where you can distribute information widely to the world very, very quickly and amplify it, what happens when you think some political figure said something they didn't? What happens when you think a celebrity said something they didn't endorse, whatever? I don't actually have the answers. And I think that's actually the next chapter of social media problems. Not the next chapter, but one of the next problems they will have to deal with. I don't think the technology is quite at the point yet where you're seeing that come to a head, but I think you're right for bringing it up. And it was definitely a topic of discussion.
You didn't find the Jim Acosta video credible last week? We talked about Jim Acosta last night, so he...
I don't know. That's not my world. Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to run another venture soon? How are you thinking about the future for yourself as you, you're recharging your batteries right now? You're learning to fly. You're doing some other things.
Define venture and define soon.
You define venture and you define soon.
So I'm 34. I've got a long life ahead. Like, I woke up and I was like, oh man, like, I got a lot to do. It's pretty fun at a young age to like have the experience of running a company like Instagram, being through it, learning a ton, and then being able to put capital to work on new ideas. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I didn't really get to do in those 8 years was explore the like vast expanse of, again, we'll say creativity and curiosity. And you could say I could have a future in PR, but I want to give you an example of where this came from. So the only reason Instagram started was because I took a photography class. Actually, let me back up. I studied abroad in Florence when I went to Stanford. All my friends were like, no, I'm not going to study abroad. That's silly. Why would I do that? I'm just going to focus on my classes and get a McKinsey or a Bain, or go work at Goldman Sachs. And they've all done phenomenally well. But I was like, I kind of want to go to Italy and I like follow this cultural passion that I have, learn Italian, go study art history, study photography. The only reason Instagram exists today is because I went and did that. Mm-hmm. And I spent time in a dark room with a photography teacher who told me about old school film types that were square and that you could tint the photos with different chemicals, which I was doing in the middle of, Florence in this little dark room. And it took years for that to come back and become a company. But like, I believe companies and ideas come from getting out there in the world and trying different things. It's why I'm learning to fly, not because I think that like, I want to become a pilot or anything, but because I think going out there, learning new things that are really hard, that work different parts of your brain, they challenge you in a way that you're not going to get challenged by just doing the same thing over and over again. And then maybe a company comes out of something you've learned there.
And you're making wine, right?
I make some wine, yeah.
How much wine are you making?
Oh, like 70 bottles. I don't have enough to give out. I'm sorry, guys. Everyone's like, please, wine.
And you like to take long cycles, I think, and that's part of recharging your batteries too. Are there other, who else are you, like, who are you trying to talk to? Who are you trying to meet? What are you reading? I mean, you're kind of in a period then of like nourishment in a sense after, I assume you were working long weeks at Instagram to the end. So who else are you meeting and what are you reading and how are you kind of exploring out there? What else do you want to do?
So the advice I'd give to anyone watching or listening, if you ever have a transition in your career and you have some time, the best advice I got, like I would meet with different politicians, some who, maybe didn't get elected to certain offices and then decided they were going to take some time. The advice I would get, and by the way, there were a lot of them, they would say, well, number one, don't do the first thing that comes along, because invariably, like, you'll regret that. Give yourself time to, like, explore. So I take that seriously. The second is get better in this space. So a lot of people in politics or in different industries, you know, if they don't get selected for whatever cabinet or whatever, they'll just, like, go and do a job and kind of float until the next administration comes along, and then they're in. The best advice I got from a lot of these people were, like, you know what? Actually get better. Figure out how to improve your mental faculties. Figure out how to work hard on something really difficult, because the next time it comes around, the next time you start something, go raise money, you're going to be better off because of it. Don't just float in between. Yeah. And there's a lot of other advice too, but I'm a person who loves to both work extremely hard and also live life to its fullest. I mean, again, let's talk about the flying thing or the wine thing. It's like, these are sciences that have been honed over, you know, years and years and years. And to be, you know, one of the humans on earth that can turn a key, turn a prop and go up in the air and fly yourself and land, that's like a really special experience. I'm going to be doing those things. I'm going to be meeting a lot of people. And at some point,
anyone that you've met or anyone who's given you advice that really stood out for you, anybody who's really connected on a different level or really said something that really resonated?
He's become quite a mentor and he's super thoughtful. Ray Dalio runs Bridgewater or ran Bridgewater and obviously still very involved. But he wrote this book called Principles, and I picked it up and I was reading through it and I was like, oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. I agree with that. And it's not often you wake up and you read something and you're like, wow, this person's framework about how they think about the world is very aligned. And I think Ray, you know, we did a short video with each other, but he mentioned he's twice my age. And it's so fun for him to be able to give advice to someone younger, because if you have 34 more years to get to that point, what things can you skip over? Like, if life is a game, what lessons can you learn that have been learned by other people where you can kind of skip over the hard parts to then have new lessons? And that, because of someone like that, I know when I'm, you know, 60 something, I'm going to be able to be in the same position, hopefully, to give back as well.
And are you spending any time on social media since you've stepped away?
I spend a lot of time on social media. Mostly because we now have tools that allow you to see how long you're spending on social media. If you haven't looked, check them out. I'm not posting a lot, but that's just like, listen, when you leave a job, you just kind of want to be off the grid for a little bit. But I still love it. Yeah, Instagram's still my favorite thing. So,
now. Kevin Systrom, it's thank you for being here. I think the key is not to mix your hobbies, but it's great to hear about them. So thanks a lot.
Very good.
The Future of Everything is a production of The Wall Street Journal. This episode was produced by Anthony Green and Garrett Crow. Our technical director is Jacob Gorski. John Wardock is the executive producer of WSJ Podcast. Stan Parrish is the editor-in-chief of The Future of Everything. Thanks to our editors on the live journalism team, Yoon-Hee Kim, Nikki Waller, and Kim Last. And special thanks to festival organizers Anna Raftal, Andrea Acosta, and Robin Wood-Sailor. Be sure to check back for regular episodes in the weeks ahead, including special reporting on the Earth's changing climate. And remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Jennifer Strong in Laguna Beach, California.